ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter number 23, the Song of Avanti Brahman, Text number 59. Sukha dukha pradonanya
Sukha dukha pradonanya
Purushasya atma vibhramaha
Mitro
dasina ripareva
Mitro dasina
संसारस्तमसहकृतः सुखदुःखप्रदः गिवर ऑफ हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस न देयर इज नो अन्यः अदर पुरुषस्य ऑफ द सोल आत्मा ऑफ द माइंड विभ्रमः bewilderment, mitra, friends, udasina, indifferent, parties, ripavaha, and the enemies, samsaraha, the material life, tamasaha, out of ignorance, krita, created. Translation and purport by the disciples of Simulesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. No other force besides his own mental confusion makes the soul experience happiness and distress. His perception of friends, neutral parties and enemies and the whole material life he builds around this perception are simply created out of ignorance. Everyone is working hard to please their friends, defeat their enemies, and maintain the status quo with the neutral parties. These relations are certainly based on the material body and do not exist beyond the body's inevitable demise. They are called ignorance or material illusion. Sukha dukha prado nanya purushat Atma vidbrahma mitrodasina riparava sansarastamaha kritar. No other force besides his own mental confusion makes the soul experience happiness and distress. His perception of friends, neutral parties and enemies and the whole material life he builds around this perception are simply created out of ignorance. So if we reflect back in our life, because we all came from the same status, but now we are getting a systematic knowledge. So if we reflect back, was it not our life full of ignorance? And who is to be blamed for the ignorance? It's a dead silence. See, that the fact is revealed. It gives a quite good shock. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, everything has been explained. By Lord Shri Krishna, just to dispel his ignorance. And the title is that Contents of the Gita Summarized. The second chapter is so much vital importance. And generally we refer to the people whose relative died. We just say, read second chapter of Bhagavad Gita rather than Garuda Purana. Yesterday, one devotee asked, he's coming from Fiji, and he comes from the surrounding of ritualistic ceremonies that the pandits recommend. As if pandits are rather keeping their business status quo. That's why they want you to do Garud Puran and the Tarpan and what not. And you can't save the departed soul. It's better chant Hare Krishna and read the second chapter. So he could understand. I said, practice is necessary. We have to convince ourselves that whatever our status quo in the material life is due to the ignorance. Now we are trying to come out from the ignorance and put ourselves in the anvil of Krishna consciousness. So it is going to hammer. Prabhupada said, when the iron is red hot, then you beat it and shape it. This shaping or restructuring our life into reality has the aim behind Krishna consciousness movement. You know, Prabhupada aimed that to re-educate the people in general. This is one of the purpose of establishment of ISKCON, to re-educate. We have been given wrong education, but now we have to get re-educated. To re-educate the people in general and bring them out from the ignorance of that creates temporality all around us, and free from the miserable condition of happiness and distress. Both the happiness and distress are miserable. The objects of sense gratification themselves are the breeding ground for the miseries. So why not? Happiness is also a miserable result. It is happiness and distress, both are conceived out of ignorance. Do you think it is going to keep ourselves in status quo? The soul is going to rebel. Even at the time of death, when it departs, if the ignorance is continued due to the attachment to the material life, then what will be his gati? Rather, we are being given a chance here to re-educate, and in the re-education we are simply taught to re-establish the lost relationship with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the cause of our existence. We were existing with him, but he provided the facility because we so desired. The material life was created by him, but it is also meant for education. So it is pretty important that we try to look into this matter very seriously. Everything around us that makes us think that we are better than others, we are right and you are wrong, both are created by the ego, which is covered with ignorance. Ignorance is the root cause of our false ego. And how come false ego will treat you as you are? It will not allow you to, you know, go beyond him. He is the greatest interference in our life. Smash the false ego, remove the false ego, whatever you may want to say. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us Pranada Pishunichena Tarurabhi Sahishnana Amari Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If the false ego is removed, then you will be able to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare incessantly, without any apratihata, without any disturbance. It will be spontaneous. It will be continuous. Satatam kirtayantam maam yatantascha dradavrata namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasati tesham nitya abhiyukta naam yogakshemam vahamya. Krishna takes every responsibility on his head for his devotee. So, simply serving Krishna, sarva karma krita hoy. But that kind of faith we have to generate by proper education. It means whatever we are thinking of that, yes, we have faith, but then re-examine whether it is tainted with mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, because they are material in nature. So our faith will be still material. Krishna dispels each and every aspect of our ignorance in Bhagavad Gita. So here he is concluding the plight of this Avanti Brahma. Krishna approves his assertion that what he is concluding out of his bad experiences, he said the soul has nothing to do with it. Soul is totally a different entity, is not a factor, have anything to do with the three subtle modes of material nature. So why the soul has to become responsible for all? And only in human form of life one can keep the soul floating above the muck of Maya. It is compared with lotus flower. It grows in the mud, but does not allow any drop of water stay on it. It is so designed by material nature. Therefore, Lord Krishna's comparison of his entire form is also compared to a lotus flower. Why lotus flower? It is the spiritual aspect which has which is beyond the effects of the three modes of material nature, as the comparative. The lotus flower, by Mother Nature's arrangement, is such that even though it comes out from the mud and then the water, but yet it wants to project itself out. And it is so clean. Why? Because the arrangement on the lotus leaf, petals and everything is that it has so small bristles that is impervious to the for the water. Therefore, the water drop stays in a very unstable condition. Kamala dala jala jivana tala mala. Just like a little wave comes and it falls off. So similarly, this is the situation for the living entity after properly getting educated should make. That he should remain indifferent to both the effects of so-called happiness as well as distress. Why we are so partial? Even happiness is troubling. Because it will create animosity with somebody else. You are happier than him. Okay, let me pull your leg. But happiness is not to be expressed outside. So one has to become sober. One is not enamored by the happiness, nor he is morose by the distress. So here in our material life we think that we have to please our husband, our wife, our children, our relatives, our elderlies, our friends,
And we have to please even our society. Not only that, we should be ready to sacrifice ourselves for the country. The same gentleman yesterday, the devotee, he said, "We are eating the salt here of this country, so we must do something." That's a chant, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yasyatma buddhi gunapetri dhatuke swadhikkalatradishu ijja bhaumadi. Oh, you are talking like that? No. Understand. Yasyatma buddhi, whose intelligence is resting on kapha, pitta and vayu. I am having kapha right now, so please pardon me. Okay. Kapha, pitta, vayu means bodily conception. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuke swadhi, that material intelligence, kalatra adishu ijja bhavamadi, starting from one's own family, wife, children, and up to the level of ijja bhavamadi. This is the land of my birth, so I am obliged to sacrifice my life for uplifting my village. Build a temple there, so social gathering can be going on. It is still material purpose for social gathering. What is the use of temple? So, ijja bhavamadi, because he thinks he is, that the land of his birth is worshipable. Well, yattirtha buddhi salilena karhichit. One has to rise above this bodily conception of life, or extended bodily conception of life, and make it purified intelligence by proper discrimination. That is my intelligence surrounded by ego, the false conception, that is the very first thing. See, beyond intelligence is ego. Subtler than intelligence is ego. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that beyond the gross body, subtler are the senses. Subtler than the senses is the mind. Subtler than the mind is intelligence, and subtler than the intelligence is ego. But subtler than ego is the soul. But soul is bewildered by that ego, which is composed of pure ignorance. Pure ignorance. I am this and I am that. Indriyani para rahu indriyabhya param manasasto paror buddhir buddhistu sa eva paraha. So, intelligence, when it is materially contaminated, even though in the mode of goodness, it is not purifying. Intelligence has a function to discriminate between sat and asat. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate asat. Krishna is hammering right from the very beginning to just smash Arjuna's false ego. He was in good mood to sacrifice his life for his kinsmen, who are his very enemies. So there is subtlety of animosity is there. Because he fought every time, but now this is the fratricidal war, that final war is to be there. And yet, you know, so far they were lenient, and Krishna wants them to fight for the sake of fight and finish it off. Because he has finished them. And yet he is showing some kindness, foolish piety, comes in between. So most of the people who are demigod worshippers, they have accumulated piety. But when we tell them to compare with Krishna consciousness, they bring the foolish piety in front of devotional service. They have no proper evaluation. They think everything is equal. It's all Mayavad. The Mayavad is again caused by false ego. So there are a lot of opportunities in Mayavad. Just see. If you are a Mayavadi, you will have every respect in the society of ignorant people. Second thing, you are considered to be too clever to cheat them. Alright? The third thing, profit is there. So, adoration, distinction and profit. They are the subtle results. Moreover, you can even kick out Krishna. Out. We don't need you. I will become God myself. How many benefits are there? It's all due to false ego. Hey Prabhu, have your false ego intact? Or got smashed? How would the devotees going to act? Devotees are interested, they are ready. When my false ego will be smashed? You know, in early days, Srila Prabhupada was very, very direct, without compromise. And devotees were not familiar, and they will try to say something as if they know too much. And Prabhupada immediately respond in a very reciprocative way to smash the ego. And devotees found out that Prabhupada is not agitated by anger or anything, but they have noticed that Prabhupada would see in the eyes of a devotee and he will start trembling. Prabhupada would say only one word and that's about it. Thing will be understood. And what to speak? Who would have the courage to go? Who would have the courage to? From even the new bhakta all the way to the greatest of the lieutenant of Srila Prabhupada, Tamalkrishna Maharaj, he has shown the smashing aspect of the ego. He has shown. There are so many good and hilarious moments that have been recorded in Lilamrita. And yet Prabhupada remains so much humble about him, just to show the precariousness of the so-called bodily comforts. Prabhupada used even certain times jokes about himself, you know, because he did not have false ego. He did not have. But he acted appropriately to help us to smash our egos. Devotees, when they become familiar with the technique of Srila Prabhupada, they termed it as Prabhupada gives sauce. Prabhupada gives sauce. Sauce can be hot, pungent, but overall, the food will be very tasty. So, the sauce is the strongest part in the food. Chaunce, but the sauce which gives the real flavor
to our activity. Means a devotee has to be ready. When he approaches Srila Prabhupada, he has to become ready to get a source. And when somebody gets a source, devotees become so jubilant as if they are celebrating the event. They are celebrating the event. Hey Prabhu, you are so lucky. You are so lucky that Prabhupada gave you source. Now your life is having a turning point. However, a devotee in which understanding he takes the source, that depends upon his Krishna consciousness. But the devotees help him to bring out this Krishna consciousness. So they come, they embrace, Prabhu, you are so lucky, you are so fortunate. Otherwise, we all are hankering for the source. Sometimes devotees make deliberate mistake to get the source. But again, that attitude is raising out of false ego, and Prabhupada would ignore him, so his desire remains hanging uncertainly. So the idea is that Prabhupada knows the psychology of some devotees, that they want simply source and do nothing. That is also another diagnosis. Prabhupada knew exactly, because it's human psychology. So the idea is that even though a sincere devotee is waiting for the source, Prabhupada would neglect and let his false ego dissolve by having other person, not him, to get the source. Some of the applications of the source giving may be so generalized that one gets, he is fortunate, but the other also get share of the fortune. So everybody those who were around Srila Prabhupada, they were always conscious that how to please Srila Prabhupada, that was the art of Krishna consciousness. They were ready to get anything. By our natural proclivity, if we say something, as for example, Prabhupada in early days was dictating, and transcription was later done for printing the books. So in early days in New York, he would dictate, and at that time the cassette tape recorder was there. So the cassettes are to be mailed, there were no courier systems, but they were to be mailed in the post office, so they will go. So Prabhupada packed up 2-3 cassettes and told a devotee, go and mail it. He was checking out the envelope. It is so flimsy, it might burst open on the way, and he was thinking. He came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I think I should change the envelope and put up a better one, or I can make 2 envelopes stronger. And then Prabhupada said, no, go and mail it. But he was thinking that Prabhupada doesn't know the mail system here, like this and that. So he came again. Prabhupada, I would like to change. It will be better for, the security of the cassettes. And Prabhupada said, no, there is no necessity. You go and mail it. So reluctantly he goes. But he shows that the cassettes are wobbling inside. I said, no, this is not going to last long. He comes again and tells Prabhupada again. And Prabhupada became so furious. Don't you trust your spiritual master? You have no faith? Go, I told you. And he got the lesson. That this is not the way to improve the service. You have to exactly act according to the order. You are not responsible. You have to become only nimitta, means instrument, to carry out the order. Sometimes we need water and people bring milk. What is the use? Because they want a better service, a better thing that it will help. We think according to our estimation. No, milk is good for you. You take. I need water. So how come the service is rendered? No. That is an interjection of false ego. You think it will do better. No. The false ego is telling that milk is better than water. But that does not satisfy the spiritual master. Because he knows. He is not ignorant about the property of milk. He would have asked. So, we have to carry out the order as it is. Otherwise, false ego will be interjecting. So what do you think of other Bhagavad Gitas that have been translated and given purport by? Is it not out of false ego? Is it not out of false ego that people want to become impersonalist? Is it not out of false ego that they want to become Mayavadis? Is it not out of false ego that they want to continue worship of demigods and equating with the worship of Lord Sri Krishna? False ego is the first covering on the soul. Ego has given us an identity in the material life as fake people. And we live every moment in fakeness. But once we are coming out of the fakeness, the soul will rejoice, will come to its natural condition, that he is subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has to be humble because he is dependent upon him, even though qualitatively one, but quantitative difference is there. So he always remains humble as much as possible. Pranagapishunichena. Functionality of the soul will be the only aim in this so-called human form of life. When you go on the internet, Yahoo says, put up a profile, put your photograph. You want to change your avatar? Change your photo. That's it. That's it. Change your avatar. But, yes, how many false avatars you are going to have yourself? So, the idea is that here the hammering is on the false ego. It must be smashed. All this second chapter is hitting hard on false ego. Ajnanena avrutam jnanam tasya muhyanti jantava. Ignorance is covering the soul, and therefore the soul is bewildered. Bewilderment has to be gone. And if the false ego is gone, true ego has to remain as our identity. What is true ego? Aham Brahmasmi. What is true ego? What is spiritual? Ego is identity, and identity is a possession. Our identity is a possession. What we are. In false ego, there are so many upadhis. But all that material upadhis, we have to be free. Sarvopadhir vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikevasham sevanam bhakti ucchate. Sevanam. So, real ego is daso aham asmi. No brahmasmi. If somebody said aham brahmasmi, you say, Prabhu, daso aham asmi. That is the true ego. What am I? I am but nothing but gopi bartu pada kamalayo dasa 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 anu dasa. All the upadhis, all the bodily designations, all even acquired through so-called ignorance, in the medium of ignorance, MA, PhD, is ignorance. How come Saraswati Devi is the chief deity for ignorance? Can you imagine? And we still pray her. Saraswati Devi also is an expansion. What we pray is Saraswati as Bharati, wife of Brahma. But actually Brahma was educated in the heart by Lord Krishna. Tene Brahma Radaya Adi Kavaye. So, where does this Saraswati coming from? She is the Chit Shakti of Lord Shri Krishna. She stays only in the heart of Lord Krishna. She doesn't have a place anywhere, just like Radharani, because she is subordinate. Krishna's main purpose is that he is the Purusha, enjoyer. And here, we envy him, we want to become Purusha. Even a stree is Purusha. If they have enjoying mentality, they are called Purushas. It's not a gender bias. Here the word is Purusha. Sukha dukha prado nanyah purushasya atma vid brahma. The atma is Purusha. Wants to enjoy. But in opposition to Lord Krishna. Because he is the only Purusha. Yesterday we were talking that Purusha prakritisthopi. Krishna is not prakritisthopi. Krishna is not residing in the prakriti. Even though his param Purusha, Purushottama in 15th chapter, he has been described. But this Purusha is Prakritisthopi. I am in a Prakritisthopi. You are all in Prakritisthopi. Purusha Prakritisthopi Bhunte Prakriti Janguna. He enjoys the so-called mesmerizing effect of the three modes of material nature. Mesmerization. Or it's called bewilderment. karanam gunasangasya is the only that we are associating with the modes of material nature. Asat asat jonishu, we keep on revolving the cycle of birth and death in good or bad yonis. Sometimes asura, sometimes demigod, sometimes dog or sometimes hog. That is all due to the association of the modes, material modes. And out of material, the strongest has enveloped is mode of ignorance that covers the soul and bewilders it. It has to be removed. Unless and until we are properly beaten up with mind, body and intelligence, beaten up, then we will have the sense of what Avanti Brahmana is telling. But we are so clever, we don't want to get beaten up. So, to the devotees, Krishna is helping. Okay, you want to get beaten up, but not by yourself. You want somebody else to beaten up? I'll send my representative, Guru. Or otherwise, I'll create such situation for you, so you will come very quickly to me. But underlying application is beating up. Tadane bahoguna. Lalane bahavodosha tadane bahavoguna. Tasmat putram cha shishyam cha tadayat natu lalayat. You got it? Where is daddy? He's sitting behind. Mummy is strong. That doesn't mean you just beat up physically, but punishment is levied upon when you do something. Watch out. Why? It is to correct. Our ego should be shaped up that way. You know, so all the ignorance would be removed. You can't apply this in modern school, they will sue you. But that is a fact, you know. Lalane bahodosha. If we keep on petting and ignoring that where the things have to be corrected, you know. That is also the root cause for atonement that doesn't work. Parikshit Maharaj is asking question to Sukhdev Goswami, what is the main duty for those who are about to die? And why people, even though knowing the remedy, they keep on sinning, they keep on entangling themselves? What makes it? So, what kind of atonement is required? Atonement comes in the form of punishment, correction, what not. Sukadeva Goswami says, your question is very worthy. Because it is going to create the best of the welfare. But he says, as long as the ego, the material covering, is not removed by such a punishment, then what is the use of such thing? Unless and until the sleeping soul is awakened and the false ego is removed, you know, by such an atonement, which is nothing but only devotional service chanting from, starting from hearing and chanting. The sleeping soul should be awakened and can shake up the false ego in a required procedure. How do we shake up false ego? Because it has been deep down covering. We can cover uncover ourselves from the superficial, you know, just like we just throw out the clothes, we get new one. But again, new one meant you become a new man. And you like to wear new clothes, is it not? Then it's increasing your false ego. The sadhus throw away the new clothes, and they are supposed to pick up from the street in the garbage, pick up some torn clothes. In early days in New Vrindavan, this was the practice. Radhanath Swami will tell you the stories. You know, such an austere life was exemplary in New Vrindavan than anywhere else. Devotees live in sub-zero temperatures. There are no proper clothing, you know. And they can't go and purchase because there was no money. It was such an austere life. If you go to the barn where people dump their old clothes in a big drum, you have to look into that. Sometimes even you do not get a good pair of socks, but you have to pick up unmatchable socks, torn clothes, you know. And sometimes people require so much, they may take two clothes, two sets, three sets, but wear it. They look ugly if they wear two, three sets, but that is the way it has to be. There was no hot water even in sub-zero. Many devotees have simply rubbed their body with the ice and took a bath. But when it comes to Sunday, they have a lot of sense gratification. Because we had good barn, cows, milk and so forth. And one gulab jamu is like a tennis ball, leaching with a lot of liquid. This is the only sense gratification. And they will have a competition. Have you ever heard eating such 70 gulab jamus? Not only that, the devotee goes to sleep. You know, nobody can find where he is sleeping even. But he knows, he wakes up, goes again in the kitchen and drinks the leftover juice and gulab jamun, the syrup, and goes to sleep again. That is the only sense gratification they had. And the famous devotee, nobody knows where he is. His name is Charu Das, you know. Taru Das. So he was suspected to write the diary called Confession of Prasadam Edict. And it was coming in a hilarious, you know, way. But even in amongst the austerity, the soul wants to be happy. It's not, but this is that they're imbued with so much transcendental atmosphere at that time that they could build palace of gold for Srila Prabhupada. Such austerities were paying off. It is still existing, and we want to rescue from crumbling it down. Anyway, the idea is that when devotees are exposed to such extreme conditions, then they realize their false ego is not going to help them. You know? The importance is that uh, Such lessons, if they do not invoke desire in us to be smashed, you know, then we still want to be friends with Kali. It is extremely unfortunate in that sense. But let the ego get smashed slowly, slowly, slowly. And yesterday we were telling that don't do halal at one stroke. Rather, drain it out like Maasai people, little by little by little, and it will die. Somebody says, well, it is too much a torture. Let it be smashed in one chatka. Start beating up today, every day, the mind. Can you beat your mind with broom? No? Better try it. Thank you. That is called meditation. Meditation. We have to learn. So, anybody has any question on getting the ego smashed? Lord Krishna is giving so many arguments in the second chapter that somehow or other he wants Arjuna to learn the proper aspects. So these arguments are worth understanding. Krishna wants us to cultivate indifference. So, how do we understand the indifference is the technique to smash the false ego? Sukhe dukhe same krutva labha labha jaya jayo tato yudhyaya yujasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing, you shall never incur sin. What is sin? That we desire results of our activity. It is sin. Whether good or bad. We desire the results of our activity is called sin. Sin is not something only pertaining to bad karma. But even in Bhagavad Gita, so-called good, which is materially contaminated, is also sinful. This sin is Papa Purusha and it is the binding factor. So Papa Purusha, sin personified, is residing in the desires to enjoy material happiness or distress. Why Ekadashi is being performed? To smash this Papa Purusha. If you read the Mahatmya, or the significance of Ekadashi, it is given us a chance to smash our false ego. It's a practical approach. And in varieties of ways, the Papa Purusha will enter. First of all, it enters through grains, just like the seed of the life is first coming through the rain into grain, and grain into the semen, and thus it is being impregnated and starts taking the shape. So the body is composed of the pain receptors and pleasure receptors. But somehow or other, in human body, the pain receptors are about 300 times more than pleasure receptors. We see in the constitution of human body, it is explained in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Brahmaji is doing this visarga. He creates 10 different classified creations, sub-creations, that is called visarga. The first 8 being from the lower to at least up to quadrupeds, the animals, and they are put into such situations of the material atmosphere that they do not violate any laws of material nature. They are always under subjugation of the material. Number 9th and 10th is human being and the demigods and demons. Demigods and demons come under 10th creation. But number 9th is explained in a vichitra, very peculiar thing. Maitreya Muni explains to Vidur that arvakstotra tu navamam kshattam eko vidhondranam. My dear Vidur, this number 9th creation is Nara, whose stomach is upside down. We are identified as human being because our stomach is upside down. Darwin did not know that. Maitreya Muni is classifying that human beings have upside down stomach because he stood on 2 legs, became Homo sapiens, and somehow or another he thinks he is the Lord and Master. Such proclivities is slightly there in animals also to guard their territory. They think they own it. There are so many animal kingdom shows by National Geographic to understand this animal behavior. And they found that they also have social life and they have some sentiments also. But nonetheless, they are not called intelligent people. But look at this intelligence of number 9th creation. It says, first of all, his reservoir, the stomach, is upside down. That is number 9th creation, my dear Vidur. Moreover, the extraordinary feature is that because Lord Brahma has invested little more rajoguna, rajo adhika, in this number 9th creation, his entire outlook of seeing the things as they are changed. So, dukkhe cha sukhmaninah. Dukkhe cha sukhmaninah. Even though he is surrounded by miserable conditions, yet he wants to count, measure his happiness. How do you measure your happiness? How many things you have than others? No. How much less miserable I am? means I am miserable, but more or less miserable. But less miserable means happiness. Can you make out some sense? I'm less miserable. You don't have cold, right? I have cold. So, but you have other problems. Yeah. But because I have cold and you don't have cold, you think you are happy. You ignore the reminder of miseries and you think you are happy. As if you are not going to get cold. Don't come near me. It is contagious. So, dukhecha sokhamarina. Even though he is surrounded by miseries, yet he wants to count his happiness on the basis of miseries. How many miseries do you have? How many miseries do you have? You have 10. Oh, I have only 5. I am happy. Isn't it vichitra? Something unintelligible. That is what is he made up of. It's such a false ego, wants to become happy, 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 and then he becomes hippie. Happiness turns into hippiness. And Prabhupada came to turn the hippiness into happiness. Right? That is the thing. If our ego is concentrated only on the basis of how to become happy, we have done so many. Didn't we come from India for under the sway of that false ego? But you are lucky. Here is a chance in this temple to get your ego smashed. Welcome, Prabhus. Thank you very much. It's time. Anybody has any question? Yes.
You were mentioning about the austerity they underwent by the devotees in the early days in ISKCON, like New Vrindavan, and all of those things like that. And very often, suppose we go there, or even right now here, we forget everything, what happened in the history, or things like that, where ISKCON came from, and how many devotees sacrificed all their life to build this whole institution.
Yes.
And then we take everything for granted, basically, starting from everything. And we don't even notice that, how much we are taking everything for granted. Like, many people don't even have the opportunity, they live so far away, they can't come here, and things like that. So, how do we consciously try to remember our good fortune of being in ISKCON, the opportunities that we have to develop ourselves in spiritual life and to help others and things like that, without, you know, remaining in complete foolishness of, you know, completely taken for granted everything. And,
That's why the process is given out of causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. The process is perfect, have faith on it. And as much as you imbibe it, try to give it to others. What else is there? No modern contrivances can expedite the matter. It is coming from person to person, one-to-one basis. It is so personal. It's not a mass conversion. But we target to such change of heart. By smashing the ego. If the ego is smashed, change of heart will be there. And so many youngsters are becoming devotees, you know. Unless some portion of your ego must have been smashed. So let it get smashed as much as possible. You will be liberated. So, artificially we cannot expedite this matter. If it is transcendental, then it is working on its own accord.
Only the realized souls, they forecast, yes. This is the golden age for Krishna consciousness for next 10,000 years. So, take advantage of it as much as possible and make your life perfect. Take enthusiastically, with all perseverance, dhairya, nishchaya, determination, and employ it. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. Anything else? Thank you very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Peace.
Yes. Yes. Yes.